Okay, I'd like to read from the last chapter of the prophet Isaiah. I'm just going to look at two verses, but the two verses are very long. I'll read from verse 1 until the end of verse 4 of the 66th chapter of Isaiah the prophet. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. He who kills a bull as if he slays a man, he who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck, he who offers a grain offering as if he offers swine's blood, he who burns incense as if he blesses an idol, just as they have chosen their own way, and their soul delights in their abominations, so will I choose their delusions, and bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. When they did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I do not delight. Amen. Well, the two verses there, verses 3 and 4, seem to be really negative. However, they ought to be seen in the context of what goes before and after. What went immediately before, which we looked at last week, was the kind of worshipper the Lord is seeking. Those who are poor and contrite in spirit, who tremble at God's word. And verses 3 and 4 provide us with quite a graphic contrast to that. And we have a number of pictures in verse 3, which we would consider rather unpleasant and distasteful. But that is the intention. He who kills a bull as if he slays a man. What? Well, again, in our worship, we don't kill anything. This was written in Old Testament times when, in order to worship God, you would bring an animal, a bull, a lamb, a dove, and you take it to the temple, and it would be sacrificed for your sin, and that was part of your offering, that was part of your worship. We Christians do not bring animals to sacrifice because they were only temporary signs pointing to Jesus Christ himself. He is the Lamb of God. His sacrifice was the final sacrifice. No more animals need to die. No more sinners need to die. However, this was written hundreds of years before Jesus came. So let's remember the context here is sacrificial temple worship, where somebody might bring a bull as part of their worship. And yet it says, he who kills a bull as if he slays a man. Well, if killing a bull in worship is not your cup of tea, let's remember that there were nations surrounding Israel that practiced human sacrifice. And you must ask yourself, what heartless religion is it that would kill human beings to satisfy some horrible idol? We know that some one particular god called Molech required child sacrifice. The Druids in our country sacrificed human beings to their horrible gods. And to take a person and kill them, clearly there is a lack of compassion there. The contrast, of course, is with Jesus Christ himself, whom the Father sent to be the Saviour of the world. He willingly sacrificed himself as a man, that we men and women might be brought back to God. He is the absolute and wonderful exception. But God through Isaiah here is complaining about those Israelites who offer a bull in worship to God as carelessly and as heartlessly as the pagans offer their sacrifices of human beings. Again, to offer a dog to God would be considered unclean. It would be a sacrifice that would not be accepted. A lamb, of course, would be expected, but he who sacrifices a lamb as if he breaks a dog's neck. To take a lamb to the temple and have it sacrificed carelessly, nonchalantly, as though you were offering a dog or dealing with a stray dog that was a problem on your farm, God finds deeply offensive. Again, to offer the blood of a pig would be considered deeply offensive and shocking and unclean. To a Jewish priest, a worshipper, offering grain is accepted. But to offer grain to God in a wicked way, you may as well be offering the blood of a pig. Likewise, to burn incense to God, which is what the priests did do, in such a careless, insincere manner, doing something as a ritual without any thought or meaning, one may as well be blessing a statue for what good it does you and for what pleasure and honour it gives to God. And then we have the heart of the matter at the end of the verse. Just as they have chosen their own ways and their soul delights in their abominations. These worshippers are meant to be offering to God, but deep down in their hearts, God has seen their soul delights in their evil. They like what they do. They pretend to offer sacrifice for it, but there's no repentance there. They have chosen their own ways as opposed to his ways. And so in verse 4, God will do something about it. So will I choose their delusions. These people have no interest in God. God gives them over to their own deluded imaginations. He says, I will bring their fears on them. Rejecting the God of heaven who longs to help them and guide them and guard them and keep them. Rejecting him, they are handed over to their own fears. And then we have, and this is the most heartbreaking part. If you thought it was unpleasant to read of, you know, a man or a man being sacrificed or a dog's neck being broken, here is the real tragedy in verse 4. Because when I called, no one answered. Here is a wayward people whom God is calling. He longs to enter into a relationship with them. He longs to save them, to be their God and they his people. And they ignore that call. When I spoke, they did not hear. The heart of the problem is not them sacrificing the wrong thing. They're sacrificing the right things, but they're not doing it out of sincerity. They're not listening to God. To obey is better than sacrifice, and these people are not obeying, for they are not hearing or listening. They do evil before my eyes. If God has really done a work of grace in your heart, you will want to please him. If you're a real Christian, you'll want to live your life that honours him instead of honouring yourself. When he speaks, you'll want to hear him. When he calls, you will listen. And chose that in which I do not delight. They do things that delight them and not delight him. Well, that's how we ought not to be. I'm not going to go on to verse 5 and 6 because we're only having a short word tonight. But again, let's look at the opposite. Now again, don't please bring a bull or a lamb. Those times are past. But when as an act of worship you bring your praise, do so with sincerity. One of the benefits of singing a song that we don't know, you know, in one respect, we have to focus on the tune. Do we go up or do we go down? But you read the words instead of glibly trotting them off the tongue. When we pray shortly, do we mean it? When we say, in the name of Jesus, do we actually know and understand it's through him and his blood that we are able to enter the throne room of grace? Or do we just say it because, well, that's how we finish our prayers, always have done, always will do. Don't really think about it. So let's praise him with sincerity. Let's mean it. Let's choose his ways rather than our ways. May we hate abominations as he hates them. When he calls, may we answer. When he speaks, may we hear. May we do good before his eyes and choose to do that in which he delights. If we can do that, then we will avoid the strong delusions which he has sent upon the world and our fears in verse 4 will not be brought upon us. Amen.